Made for You, Part 2 of A Maid and Her Master, A Good Omens fanfiction series by Faruba Fangirl, read by GorillasGal86. Rating, explicit. Summary. Crowley lives to serve as Angel, however, when he gets an idea on how to express this more thoroughly, he needs a little help along the way. Chapter 1. Crowley can't say for sure when it happened. He's not even sure if there was an exact moment or if it was just a culmination of events that made him realize he would do anything for Aziraphale. Maybe it was all the little appreciative smiles the angel would give him when Crowley covered the bill for lunch. Maybe it was his giddiness when he returned from Edinburgh to see the Globe Theatre teeming with spectators, as the demon had promised. Maybe it was the stunned silence that rung louder than 1,000 words as he handed Aziraphale his beloved books. Regardless of the win, Crowley accepts, albeit a little bitterly, he is hopelessly whipped. The aftermath of Armageddon't certainly didn't help his situation. Unsurprisingly, once there was no longer the lingering fear of someone hovering over their shoulders, desperately panted love confessions suddenly came naturally to them. They were finally free to do as they pleased. And oh, did Crowley want to please. Sure, he would huff and haw, but ultimately it was all smoke and mirrors. When Aziraphale wanted to go to the opera, Crowley would throw on his best tux and would hold his hand throughout the whole show, paying more attention to his angel quietly humming to the symphony than the actual performance. When Aziraphale asked him to sit on his cock while he read a book in the back room, Crowley would helplessly clutch onto him, resisting every urge to fuck himself on it until he finished every word. When Aziraphale suggested they should live together, by someone, Crowley made sure he gave his angel a proper home, not just a house. Their own personal Eden near the coast with no expense spared. He would do all these things and more, because he'd be damned again if he ever let Aziraphale doubt his love. Honestly, if the guys downstairs bothered to see him now, they'd surely disown him a second time out of pure shame for catering to the whims of an angel. And well, Crowley would gladly tell them to bugger off if they did. Despite indulging Aziraphale at the drop of a hat, there are moments that Crowley becomes restless as if all his efforts aren't enough, or rather, he isn't enough. That isn't to say that Crowley ever felt unappreciated. Quite the contrary, really. Reciprocity was the foundation of their relationship even before the arrangement. And Aziraphale has always made sure his demon knows how grateful he is to him. Still, this doesn't prevent the intrusive pangs of doubt that shroud Crowley's mind from time to time. Although recently, the demon came across something that might help lift the fog, so to speak. It was during one of their lazy nights, and while Aziraphale tranquilly read and Crowley mindlessly browsed through his phone next to him on the couch. Somehow, his internet search for pictures of angry ducklings eventually led to tourist attractions, which in turn led to the topic of maid cafes, and well, that piqued the demon's interest. Suddenly, Crowley fell down the rabbit hole, reading a few articles about their origin and popularization and so on. For the most part, he found they were inherently innocent, yet The idea of tending to his angel in that way, taking orders from him, even for the simplest request, made Crowley ache between his legs. Needless to say, Aziraphale didn't get to finish his book on that occasion. Although he didn't bring up the idea with Aziraphale then, Crowley spent the next few days delving into the world of master-servant dynamics and, fuck, the demon will never cease to be amazed by human creativity. His mouth was positively watering as he read through some promising scenarios that he was itching to try with his angel. Unfortunately, that just posed a whole new set of problems for the demon. Despite being receptive to Aziraphale's wants, it is often difficult for Crowley to vocalize his own, especially in matters of intimacy. Apparently, asking Aziraphale for holy water or to run away with him was a cinch compared to finally admitting he preferred being the little spoon. After a week of procrastinating and self-deliberation, Crowley comes to the mortifying conclusion that perhaps he needs an outside perspective. So when Aziraphale tucks himself away in his study for the evening, Crowley takes the opportunity to make a call, but not without indignantly staring a hole into his phone first. Even before the person on the other end gets to say hello, Crowley discreetly hisses, "First things first, you will not breathe a word of this conversation to Aziraphale. Second." The demon pauses before huffily admitting, "I need someone to talk to." Madame Tracy's chipper voice comes through. "Oh, Mr. Crowley, I have to say I am surprised to hear from you, but never mind that. What would you like to talk about?" In the privacy of her lounge, the medium calmly sips her tea as she observes Crowley fiddling with a crochet doily under a saucer. He had insisted they handle this issue in person, but he hadn't said much aside from casual remarks, which isn't that different from when he tags along with his ear fail. Fortunately for the demon, Madame Tracy's professions instilled her with the patience of a saint. "I could get you something stronger if you like, dearie," she offers kindly. Crowley looks up from his stupor and scratches his cheek nervously. "Fine. I'd prefer not to go on a drunken rant today." Madame Tracy titters. "All right. Just making sure you're comfortable. We have quite some time before Mr. S comes back, so there's no rush." "Thanks. Although, I suppose it'd be easier if I stopped stalling, huh?" Finally, Crowley takes a deep breath. "I recently came across an interesting concept that I'd like to try in the bedroom department," he explains bashfully. "And I thought I'd run it by someone before bringing it up with Aziraphale. I figured since you're friends with him, and you're also one of the least judgmental humans I know at the moment, you're the best option." Well, I'm flattered you feel you can confide in me, Mr. Crowley. I know this is a delicate matter, but trust me, there's nothing I haven't heard before," Madame Tracy assures as she straightens her posture with all the professionalism of a therapist. "Now, tell me, what did you have in mind?" Crowley gnaws on his bottom lip before tersely answering, "Master and servant roleplay." The medium's eyebrows shoot up in delight. "Oh, what fun! That was a popular request among my clients. Why, I personally liked being the coquettish baroness with a very loyal stable boy," she admits cheekily. Madame Tracy notices some of the tension in Crowley's body relax a bit as he acclimates to the conversation. So, what role were you thinking of playing?
I was thinking of something more on the submissive side. A maid specifically,
he admits, a light blush painting his cheeks. Madame Tracy smiles encouragingly at him.
I think that is a lovely idea, and the possibilities are endless. I'm sure Aziraphale would be open to it as well.
Crowley winces a little at this.
Or are you worried he'll be uncomfortable being the dominant one?
The demon snorts a little.
That definitely won't be an issue with him, but this would be new territory for both of us, and I have a tendency of going too fast.
He slumps back on the bergère and sighs.
I don't want to mess this up.
Oh, I see. To your credit, though, you were willing to ask for help to make this enjoyable for the both of you. So I'd say you're pacing yourself nicely already. I'm sure Aziraphale will appreciate that gesture alone.
I guess.
She notes his unconvinced tone and gives him a sympathetic look. More importantly, is that he loves you, and he'll love whatever will make you happy. Of course, to do that, you have to ease yourself into it as well. He quirks an eyebrow at her.
How do you suppose I do that?
Madame Tracy grins, pleased that he asked. She gets up from her seat, adjusting her shawl. Come on, darling, she chirps. We're going on a little field trip.
Where?
To have you test the waters.
I'm going to feel ridiculous, aren't I?
Crowley gripes as they stand out in front of a little shop with frosted windows. The poster is plastered on them boldly advertising 18 plus, toys, lingerie, and wonders galore.
Absolutely not,
Madame Tracy swears.
I came here for years before deciding to hang up my frocks, and I never left disappointed.
Crowley dubiously examines the ebony building contrasted by Wonderland declared in white cursive letters with the silhouette of a rabbit as the period. He huffs.
Fine. If this is the price of horniness, then I guess I have to buck up.
The medium giggles before taking Crowley by the arm.
No need to fret, dearie. I promise once you get sorted out, you won't be so much of a sourpuss.
Crowley rolls his eyes behind his shades, but he is calmed by her optimism. When Madame Tracy swings the door open, the demon expects to get an immediate whiff of lust and debauchery. Instead, it's mostly the artificial scent of massage oil with only a slight undertone of human desire. The appearance of the shop decor isn't what he imagined either. He scans the black and fuchsia checkered carpet, the sleek shelves stocked with nifty gadgets, and the clothing racks brimmed with elaborate costumes. Although the most surprising thing to him is the scattered customers of every shape, color, orientation, and presentation. Some flying solo, some with partners or friends, but all just people trying to find pleasure for themselves. So, what do you think so far, Mr. Crowley? He tries to keep himself as nonchalant as possible.
It's all right. Though I was thinking there'd be more red lighting and chains hanging from the ceiling.
Ah, you see, the chains were all moved to the bonded section, she quips.
I'll have a look-see later on then, for research purposes, that is, he retorts.
Right, to what we are here for. Madame Tracy guides him towards the rows of lace, ruffles, and leather, sifting through a few options. Did you have a specific style in mind?
He gives a non-committal shrug. I just thought I'd figure out what felt right.
Okay, we can work with that. Ooh, I was thinking something soft and playful, like a Lolita theme. She plucks out an ensemble of a pink dress and white apron, accented with light blue frills. Crowley crinkles his nose a bit. No offense, but I'd rather not look like a pile of candy floss. It is a tad much, isn't it? It also wouldn't go with the whole demon thing. She says in a jokingly hushed tone. She pensively taps her chin. Maybe you'd prefer something eccentric. Like steampunk or Victorian Gothic. She suggests, gesturing to another area. He scrutinizes the darker colored fabric combinations. These aren't too shabby, but I was thinking more classic. He smiles a little fondly. Azir feels a sucker for that. You can't go wrong with that, and I believe nothing is more traditional than a French maid. Crowley's expression is unreadable, but there is hidden excitement when he says, "Yeah, I can work with that." Now that he's settled on an idea, Madame Tracy gives him space to search by himself. After perusing through outfits of varying designs and levels of raciness, one catches Crowley's attention in particular. He traces his fingers along the delicate fabric as he inspects the details of the black dress. Its long sleeves and high collar giving the illusion of decency, but the sheerness, along with the skimpiness of the skirt, suggesting otherwise. It's perfect enough to tease an angel. Enough to make him crave what lies beneath. Crowley reels in those thoughts, not wanting to spontaneously manifest an effort in public. He clears his throat and says, I think I'd like to give this one a try. Great! The dressing rooms are in the back. I'll just get an associate to open one up. Before she can finish, Crowley is sauntering away with the costume hoisted over his shoulder. Don't worry, there is one available right now. In the small cubicle, the demon hangs up his finding, giving it a final once-over. Before he can overthink his decision, Crowley waves his hand over himself so that the coat hanger is left empty, and his clothes are folded on top of the pink upholstered stool. He hesitantly turns to look into the mirror, and... whoa... The demon gawks at his reflection in disbelief, hands curiously gliding over the white pinafore. He even does a little spin to appreciate the costume in its entirety, and comes to the conclusion that he looks pretty, sexy, even. Crowley hadn't outwardly been female since Nanny Ashtoreth, and given she was meant to be the picture of dignity and elegance, she would have never dared wear something so risque. To be fair, though, Crowley hadn't worn anything remotely like this even before Nanny. If he had, perhaps his demonic temptations would have been a lot easier. Although, there is only one being he cares to tempt now. Once he finishes checking himself out, he puts on his civilized clothing again, before returning to the front where Madame Tracy is shopping for a few goodies of her own. When she notices him, she excitedly asks, "So, how did it go?" Crowley's lips turn up slightly. "Good. Although..." He gazes out at all the store has to offer and puckishly says, "I think I need some accessories." The Bentley pulls up to Madame Tracy's place, their purchases safely tucked away in the back seat. Thanks for everything. Despite being an agent of hell, I'm still green in this area, so I appreciate you taking the time to help. She smiles thoughtfully. You're welcome, dearie. I was happy to assist. Let's just hope it was worth it. She squeezes his shoulder. It will be. Just remember to have fun and not to put too much pressure on yourself, Especially the first time around. All right, I'll try, he says in earnest. Madame Tracy gathers her belongings and wishes him luck before heading inside to greet Sergeant Shadwell. Outside on their patio table, Crowley and Aziraphale sit with a pitcher of lemonade between them as they relax in the summer heat to the distant murmur of crashing waves. Crowley observes his angel peacefully doing that morning's crossword puzzle as he waits for the next chance to speak up. When he does finally muster up enough courage to open his mouth, he is interrupted by Aziraphale asking, "Something on your mind, dear?" Crowley's teeth clack a little as he snaps his mouth shut again.
What makes you think that, Angel?
He sputters. Aziraphale looks up from his work with a soft smile. You're playing with your hair, dear. You tend to do that when something is bothering you. His fingers stop twirling his curls, and he lowers his hand as if he didn't know what the angel was going on about. However, now that he's been caught, he knows Aziraphale isn't going to let it go. This is made clear when the angel takes off his unnecessary reading glasses and pushes them aside with his newspaper. Aziraphale lovingly places his hand over Crowley's. "What is it, love?" he presses, those puppy eyes turning the demon's heart into jelly. Crowley sighs, relenting. "I was wondering, do you think I could have the house for myself for the afternoon? It's not because I'm upset or anything like that." He quickly adds, "I just want to set something up. A surprise, really. Even though technically it isn't anymore now that I've told you, but I don't want you to be completely caught off guard." His rambling is cut off by a gentle kiss to his cheek. "Okay," Aziraphale whispers against his skin. "Okay." He pulls away and beams at Crowley. "Of course, darling. I was going to go check on the bookshop this Sunday anyway, so you're free to do whatever you'd like during that time."
Yeah, that works for me, but..."
He tilts his head at Aziraphale.
"Aren't you curious as to why?"
"Well, yes, I can't deny that I am. However, if that's what you want, then obviously I trust you."
"Aziraphale,"
he says breathlessly, nuzzling their foreheads together. "Thank you, but if there's something you don't like, you better tell me." It is supposed to be demanding, but it comes out more like a plea. The angel caresses his face reassuringly. "I promise, Crowley. Even though I highly doubt I will have any complaints. Is there anything else you'd like me to do?" He ponders this for a moment. "Just follow my lead."
Chapter 2. As Aziraphale's cab pulls up to the house, he wiggles in his seat with anticipation. For the last couple days, he had reined in his curiosity about what Crowley was planning, but now he couldn't wait to get inside. So much so, he practically sprints down the path to get to the door. When he does open it, he discovers that the entire lounge is immaculately spotless, the distinct smell of pine cleaner lingering in the air. The floorboards are polished, the couch pillows are fluffed, and even the books he frequently left strewn on the coffee table are finally organized in their respective shelves. Aziraphale feels his heart swell with affection as he realizes that this isn't the work of any miracles. This is Crowley's own handiwork, his way of welcoming him home. Rolly! He calls out cheerily, although he doesn't get a response.
Dear?
The angel walks past their dining hall and notices that the table is set, but only for one. Suddenly, his nose is met with a waft of fresh herbs and spices coming from the adjacent kitchen. He rounds a corner to see if Crowley is there, yet the only thing he comes across is the oven and stove cooking whatever his demon had prepared for dinner. After searching around a bit more, the angel deduces that Crowley is likely outside in the garden, tending to his plants. As Aziraphale approaches the glass sliding door, he notices a new addition to their backyard, a set of clothing lines with their linens calmly swishing in the breeze. When he goes to investigate, beyond the white veils, he hears a soft voice singing about dining at the Ritz precisely at 9. Aziraphale smiles, finding the source of the melody outlined through the translucent cloth. He pushes aside the curtain and cheerfully greets. There you are, my dear. Painted lips smile back at him. Hello there, Mr. Fell. Glad to see you back home, the maid says, her voice honey sweet. The angel gapes at his demon, who doesn't look very demonic at the moment, but is still a temptress nonetheless. He admires her auburn hair, tidied up in a bun, her uniform perfectly clinging to the now softer curves of her body, and her long legs accentuated by silky stockings and chic heels. However, he becomes so distracted that he has yet to answer. Her smile falters, and she tugs at the hem of her skirt self-consciously. Is something wrong? This was a mistake, Crowley thinks in a panic. This was a huge mistake. He hates it. He thinks you're ridiculous. No, of course not, Aziraphale blurts. He steps forward to carefully grasp her hands with a comforting smile. Everything is tickety-boo, dear. I'm just happy to be back home, too, She lets out a sigh of relief. Antoinette, she says, answering his implied question. And I'm glad to hear that. She gives his hands a final squeeze before letting go to smooth out the sheet she was working on. Thought that I would do some laundry before dinner, but I'm finished now. As she bends down to pick up the empty hamper behind her, Aziraphale catches a glimpse of white satin panties, and he nearly chokes on air. By the time she turns back around, he quickly averts his gaze, as if he wasn't ogling at her ass, even if that was the very obvious intention. So, shall we go and get you comfortable, sir? She asks. Aziraphale nods excitedly. Lead the way. Back in the lounge, Antoinette sets the hamper aside and politely folds her hands together. May I take your coat, Mr. Fell? Yes, that would be lovely, dear. He's about to remove it himself to hand it over, but he is stopped short by his maid. No, let me, she instructs. The clicking of her footsteps sends chills up his spine as she approaches him. Antoinette places her hands on his chest before she slides them underneath the wool to slink it off his shoulders. I know you must be tired from your day out, so all I need you to do is let me serve you. Is that all right? Yes, he answers breathlessly as French-tipped nails rake down his arms. The point of this game becoming clear to him. The maid carefully carries the garment to the coat rack before expectantly returning to her boss. Antoinette, would you terribly mind helping with my tie as well? He asks, tugging it nervously. I seem to be getting a bit hot under my collar. Not at all, sir. As she gets unbearably close again, her deft fingers painstakingly undo his bow tie and the top buttons of his shirt. The smell of her floral perfume and the warmth of her breath against his neck completely dizzying him. Antoinette stares at the newly exposed milky skin and small tufts of hair, tempted to press a kiss to the hollow of his throat. Instead, her eyes flick up to meet hypnotized blue ones. Anything else? Well, I could use a massage at the moment, Mr. Faust suggests, feeling emboldened to take his role seriously. My feet are awfully tired. There's my little hedonist. She smirks faintly, curtsying to him. As you wish, sir. The maid goes to sit at the end of the chaise and gestures for Mr. Fell to join her. Her employer lies back on the couch, carefully draping his feet on her lap to watch in wonder as she swiftly unties the laces of his brogues. After she slips them off, she sets them aside so she can diligently work out the knots in the soles of his feet. Mr. Fell sighs with content, his hands leisurely resting on his belly while he indulges in his maid's attention. Her lips slightly parted and her eyes half-lidded with concentration, as if this was the most important job to her, as if it was some sort of honor. He hums. My, this is such a lovely treat, dear. Thank you. She looks away from her task to gaze at him with blushing cheeks. Well, you don't have to thank me, sir. You deserve to be taken care of, and I'm happy to do so. Still, I'm very lucky to have such a wonderful maid. Her boss sits up so that he's at eye level with her. You're being so good to me, so nice, he says purposefully, knowing exactly which buttons to push. And pushed they were, as little tremors travel throughout Antoinette's body, focusing themselves directly on her pussy. Sir, she murmurs, unable to think of anything else to say. Her palm sliding up his ankle, to rest on his shin as she gravitates towards him, his breath mingling with her shallow one. Right now, Crowley wants nothing more than to taste those plush lips, to climb on top of him and ride his cock into oblivion, but, oh, this is so much better. It feels like the first time they dance together, fluid and seductive, like a courtship between two birds, beautifully erotic in its own right. So, the demon regains enough willpower to snap back into character. What else can I do for you, Mr. Fell? He smiles fondly at her dedication. While this has been relaxing, I'm starting to feel a bit peckish. I got a whiff of something divine in the kitchen, and I can't wait to give it a try. She nods, gently stroking his leg. Right away, sir. Antoinette helps Mr. Fell up before guiding him toward the dining table. While he gets settled in his seat, the maid brings a bottle of Rioja Reserva to him. As she pours him a glass, her boss beams at her proudly. Thank you, Antoinette. Although, I do notice a teensy problem, he remarks. The maid tenses with worry. What is it, sir? I see there's no place for you to join me. Oh, she stutters. It's really not my position to, Mr. Fell. Nonsense, he tuts. I would very much like your company. In fact, I insist on it. Her heart flutters at his assertive voice.
I suppose, if you have no problem with it, I could nip a bit of wine with you.
Excellent.
With their compromise reached, Antoinette takes Mr. Fell's empty plate into the kitchen. When she returns, she has a glass for herself and his food, two lamb chops on top of a cauliflower puree with a side of roasted vegetables. Once she places the dish down, Mr. Fell inhales with relish, taking in the smell of garlic and rosemary encrusting the perfectly seared meat. My dear girl, this looks absolutely scrummy. Antoinette goes to place her boss's napkin over his lap, but not without letting her hands skid along his crotch, which causes him to sputter lightly. Bon appetit, she whispers huskily before taking her seat and serving herself some wine. Unfortunately for her, two can play at that game. Don't worry, darling. His hand disappears under the table, landing on her thigh provocatively. I'll be sure to enjoy every last bite. Fuck. Mr. Fell primly picks up his silverware and cuts into the lamb first. Perfectly rare. Well done, dear. You know exactly how I like it. He compliments, bringing the piece into his mouth. After he chews on it thoroughly, he lets out an obscenely satisfied groan, and the maid tries not to let alcohol dribble from her mouth. Mmm, delicious. Oh, fuck. As the meal continues, Mr. Fell savors every little morsel. From the touch of truffle oil and dash of peppercorns, nothing is left unpraised. Meanwhile, he is shamelessly moaning like his mouth is being fucked with flavors, and it is utter torture. All Antoinette can do is desperately keep her legs clamped together to prevent herself from jamming her fingers into her soaking cunt. By the time he's emptied his plate, she's left feeling as if she ran a marathon, but at least she can take a short break now. Ooh, that was marvelous, he exhales, happily patting his stomach. Thank you again, dear. You're welcome, sir, she says, clearing out his placemat. I do hope you've saved room for dessert, though. Ah, there's always room for that, he twitters, watching her hips swing as she strolls away. At the kitchen sink, Antoinette takes a deep breath to recover from Mr. Fell's lewd display of gluttony. Keep it together. You just have to make it through one more course and then, well, you'll cross that bridge when we get there. Although it seems that's happening sooner than expected, as two broad hands find her hips. Mr. Fell, sorry if I'm keeping you waiting. I'll get your dessert right away. She gasps as his lips trace the chiffon along her shoulder, and his palms roam over her waist. About that, he whispers harshly. I think I'm in the mood for something else at the moment. The maid bites her lip, leaning back so she is flushed against Mr. Fell's chest. Are you sure about that, sir? Because I did whip up a Black Forest gâteau that is just decadent. She rasps, trying to maintain her composure. He chuckles. Oh, I don't doubt it, lovely. But trust me, there is something far more decadent that I'd like to taste. Mr. Fell punctuates this by nipping at her earlobe.
What do you say, dear? Antoinette gulps thickly.
If that's what you want, sir, then who am I to deny you?
My Antoinette, you truly are so generous. He praises as one hand paws at her pert breast.
Oh, Mr. Fell.
She keens softly as she steadies herself on the counter.
Only for you.
Always for you, Angel. That's correct, dear. Antoinette squeaks when his other hand pushes away the frills of her skirt to rest on her mound. All for me. His fingers dip underneath the damp fabric and gently caress the smooth, welcoming skin there, which is a little surprising to the angel, since his demon doesn't usually prefer to go all natural when manifesting this effort. Still, he appreciates this unique detail nonetheless, as he plays with the maid's slick folds.
Oh my. You're already so wet, darling, and I've barely even touched you all day.
Antoinette whimpers as his fingertips tease her clit in small circles and pinch at her nipples.
Oh, I can't help it. That's just the effect you have on me, sir.
She can feel his erection on the crease of her ass, and she wantonly grinds against it.
I like being the one to make you smile,
she admits. Mr. Fell kisses her nape tenderly while hungrily rutting against her.
Oh, Antoinette, I do love being spoiled by you, but it's only fair that I tend to you now.
But I want this to be about you. Oh.
She moans as he presses more firmly against her clitoris.
I know you do, darling. And what I want is to worship you. To fall on my knees and put my mouth on this yummy little cunt of yours. He coos. Will you allow me this?
Yes, yes, I will, Mr. Fell.
She whines desperately. Mr. Fell takes his hand out of her panties and orders, turn around. The maid does as she's told, her legs feeling as weak as a newborn foal's. She stares in awe as Mr. Fell gently suckles her juices off his fingers with a little hum of delight. He gives her an impish smile before nuzzling into the crook of her neck, and Antoinette gladly succumbs to him. She grips the edge of the counter as his teeth graze each hardened bud poking through her apron. He then traverses downward to his real destination, until he's kneeling in front of her, as promised. Mr. Fell runs his hand along her calf as he brushes his lips on her knee in reverence. He lifts her leg so it rests on his shoulder, giving himself more access to kiss along her inner thigh. Her breath hitches adorably when he finally reaches bare skin and playfully nibbles the supple flesh.
Such a pretty little thing,
he mutters dazedly, sucking a bruise on her pristine skin. Now, let's see what other treasures you're hiding. Mr. Fell lifts up her petticoat, his head ducking underneath the layers of ruffles to finally find the cute panties he'd gotten a preview of. He leans forward, his nose tracing the black corset ribbons in front and sniffing the sweet musk radiating from her core.
Exquisite.
He breathes. As he reaches the end of the V, he discovers Antoinette's perky pink clit peeking through the satin, now translucent with arousal. Lynette jumps when she feels him placing open mouth kisses through the cloth.
Oh, sir, please, more.
She huffs. Certainly. With a snap of his fingers, her panties are disposed of, the cool air startling her. She has half a mind to reproach the use of a miracle, but her thoughts are derailed as he lays his tongue on the sensitive nub, whirring it in his mouth like a tart pomegranate seed.
Oh, shit.
His lips spread into a wicked smile, thumbs digging into her sharp hip bones before diving in for more. As he continues to eat her out with fervor, Antoinette is reduced to a string of nonsensical syllables. Even more maddening is the fact that with her vision obscured, the rest of her functioning senses have become hyper-tuned to each of his ministrations. Every long swipe along her labias, every squishy plunge to her entrance, and every messy slurp and sigh of satisfaction, all stoking the flame growing inside of her. Despite wanting to watch her boss's expression of reckless abandonment as he feasts on her pussy, she knows it won't be necessary to push her over the edge, which she makes obvious as her hands fly to the top of his head, frantically bucking against his face.
Azira, Mr. Phil, oh, I'm so close, I'm...
Without warning, he latches onto her clit, humming a low, gravelly, which is enough to send her mewling into orgasm. Mr. Fell licks her through it, prolonging her ecstasy until she is shaking uncontrollably. After he's taken his fill, he puts Antoinette's wobbly leg down and emerges with his elated face glossy from nose to chin. Antoinette tiredly reaches for a nearby tea towel, gingerly wiping away her spend.
Was it to your liking, sir?
She asks breathily. He grabs her hand, appreciatively pecking each knuckle. As I expected, delectable.
It was wonderful for me too. Thank you,
she says, her thumb stroking his brow. However, the maid pauses when her eyes catch the straining bulge in his trousers.
Mr. Fell, would you like me to take care of that for you?
He gasps as the point of her shoe rubs the outline of his hardened prick.
Oh, how do you suggest we do that, my dear?
However you like. You're the boss, remember? She reminds invitingly. In response, Mr. Fell launches up and captures his maid's lip in a needy kiss, which she is more than willing to allow. He pants. My wily seductress. I would very much like to sort myself out inside of you.
Please do.
With her permission, he makes quick work of his belt and fly to pull out his flushed cock with a hiss.
Good Lord, I'm positively aching thanks to you, dear.
He groans as he strokes himself. Then you should probably get a wiggle on then. She teases mischievously. Although Antoinette yelps in surprise, when Mr. Fell scoops her up by the back of her thighs and spins her into the nearest wall. Her pleats ruck up as she instinctively wraps her legs around him, and the maid senses the wet smear of the cock painting her groin. Her boss brushes their lips together as he purrs. I fully intend to do just that. Antoinette cries into his mouth as he steadily holds her against the flat surface, making it clear that she is at his mercy. One of her hands cards through blonde curls, while the other grips the back of his velvety waistcoat, wanting to envelop him completely, like moss on a rock. Mr. Fell's hands knead her ass cheeks as the tip of his erection slides over her well-savored seam, before finally slipping into the scorching heat. He revels in the ripples of her inner muscles clenching greedily around his cock, and the sound of her broken sob when he bottoms out.
Ugh. You feel so luscious. All tight and worked up, just for me, love. At this rate, I might not last long.
He babbles. She sighs with a shudder, overwhelmed by every pulse of his cock and the slow grind of his pubic bone on her clit.
Don't care. Just fuck me.
She yips as he starts to ram into her. The maid's head falls back with a soft thump, each one of his thrusts forceful enough to potentially send them flying through the plaster. Yet, she knows that he would never let that happen. Despite the indescribable power he holds, every muscle in his body is methodically controlled to hold her securely in place, to not only give her pleasure, but affection as well, as he dotes on her with heartfelt kisses, while simultaneously fucking her relentlessly.
Oh, I'm about to come, darling.
He heaves.
I'm gonna fill you up. Oh, I'm gonna make you mine again and again. Oh, Angel, yes, yes, Aziraphale. Crowley wails, gripping on tightly. Crowley.
Aziraphale growls as he comes, his demon following closely behind. Their heavy breathing fills the air of the kitchen as they gradually recover in each other's arms, the mixture of their cum dripping out of Crowley's delightfully sore pussy and onto the wax tiles.
I'm sorry,
the demon mumbles in a more familiar timbre. I didn't mean to break character.
Oh, you silly old thing,
Aziraphale says, kissing Crowley's forehead.
You have nothing to apologize for. This has been such jolly good fun.
Crowley flashes Aziraphale a meek smile before hugging him even closer.
Good to hear, Angel.
Aziraphale presses their cheeks together and flirtatiously says, while I did love Antoinette's company, I must admit I cannot wait to take off this dress to properly see my demon. Crowley feels the angel's prick twitching with interest again, and can't help but chuckle.
I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that.
In their bedroom, saturated in twilight, Crowley is sprawled on top of Aziraphale in a heap of bliss after a few more vigorous romping sessions. He laughingly hums,
Jesus Christ, Angel. If I had known you would have had such an intense reaction, I would have gotten that costume ages ago. Like, locked up in the Bastille ages ago.
Aziraphale giggles as he lazily draws patterns on his shoulder.
I got a little carried away, didn't I?
Well, you didn't hear me complaining, did you? He points out. Crowley notices the angel's hand stilling.
Dear, can I ask you something? He says a bit nervously.
Crowley lifts up his head and rests his chin on Aziraphale's chest.
Sure thing, Angel.
He tucks a sweaty lock behind Crowley's ear.
This surprise. I haven't made you feel like I'm unsatisfied, have I?
Huh? No, Angel, that's not... Of course you haven't.
Crowley scoots up closer.
I'm the one who gets stuck in my head. Even if I know it's not true, sometimes I feel like I should do more to deserve all of this. But being Antoinette, it helped me with that frustration.
The demon splays his hands over Aziraphale's heart, but doesn't meet his eyes.
It helps knowing I can please you in any form.
The angel gently tilts Crowley's chin up so he can look at him.
Crowley, I'm so happy you found something that eases those worries, and that you're willing to share it with me. But I want you to know one thing. You will always be worthy, no matter what.
Crowley's lips quiver slightly, and a quiet sob escapes them.
I know I pushed you away for so many years,
he says guiltily.
But I want you to remember that I will never do that again. Even if you don't want to catch a play or eat at a particular restaurant with me, I'll still be the happiest angel on earth, because I have you.
Yellow-slitted eyes burn with impending tears, and Crowley burrows himself into Aziraphale's neck. The sincerity of his words leaving him rawer than consecrated ground.
I believe you, he sniffs.
Since the very beginning, Aziraphale offered him kindness. He sheltered a demon of all things from the unknown rumbling skies above them. Perhaps that was the real catalyst for Crowley. He wanted to give back to that strange, fussy angel that shared figs with him as they waited out the storm together. Then it became about giving him all the love he didn't know he was capable of.
I love you so much, Aziraphale.
His angel pecks the top of his head, wrapping his arms around him.
I love you too, Crowley.
The demon gazes up at him again with misty eyes and a wide smile.
You've made me into such a sap, Angel,
he says in mock disgust. Guilty as charged. Aziraphale laughs as he wipes the corners of Crowley's eyes.
So, does this mean you'd be up for doing this again?
Absolutely, he affirms brightly. I do believe Mr. Fell will be calling upon his maid frequently, if she's amenable.
Oh, she's amenable all right, and,
Crowley playfully tweaks Aziraphale's nipple with a wicked smile. She's got a few ideas up her sleeves that she's just dying to try out.
The end.